podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs. And today I'm going to share with you another major Wall Street scheme that ripped off the average investor to the benefit of the big Wall Street insiders, right under your nose. But first, I want to explain to everybody how easy it is to get access to our research. It's www.newconstructs.com. You can Google New Constructs, pick us up on Twitter, at New Constructs. We're on Seeking Alpha, we're on Forbes, we're on MarketWatch, we're on Money Life. We're all over the place, and tons of free research and examples of the work we do so that you can see how hard we work for our clients on the website. I encourage you to take a look. If you care about profitability, if you care about valuation, we're the best place in the world to get that analysis. Now, on to the big scheme. It actually made headlines recently, but I don't know for sure that people realize how big a deal this is. So the $1.4 billion settlement that Standard & Poor's made with the Justice Department in 19 states because they were getting paid by the investment banks to issue the fancy or the good ratings that allowed these banks to sell all these mortgage-backed securities that ended up being so poor. Now, the reason I want to bring this up is because it is effectively almost an exact replica of the global research settlement, which was about $10 billion. And this was back in the year 2000, led by Elliot Spitzer, because research analysts were getting paid to give rosy ratings to the not-so-good IPOs that companies or investment banks were underwriting. Sound familiar? And I think I want to emphasize, and I think the thing that's most important for investors to understand is that this is a long-standing trend. It happens over and over and over again, and every time the size of the fine is a speed bump. It is a molehill in the mountain of profits that these companies make doing these unethical and really, I think, actually illegal activities. Huge conflicts of interest. And they are all over the business. Morningstar gets paid by the companies it provides ratings for. And companies spend a lot of money, not only to Morningstar, but making sure that their relations with Morningstar are good. We've written about this. I've done podcasts and I've done videos, webinars on how Morningstar really isn't independent. I think investors need to understand how important it is that you'll use independent research. When it's not independent, it means it is conflicted. And conflicted means that they're out to rip you off, not make you money. Now, if you both make money along the way, great. But when it comes down to it, if it's not independent, truly independent, you're swimming with sharks. You're swimming with sharks, big sharks. Big sharks, great white sharks, and you're a minnow. And they could snap you up at any time they want. So breaking this settlement with S&P down a little bit more. Again, $1.4 billion between the Justice Department and the 19 states that also filed complaints around the good ratings that S&P gave to the mortgage-backed securities when they weren't good. Effectively, they misrepresented the true credit risks. And they did that so that they would be the rating firm that the Wall Street firm paid for the rating. So Wall Street basically would go to the rating firms, which was S&P, Moody's, and Fitch, and say, all right, who are we going to use in this offering of mortgage-backed securities that we're going to sell to people in the United States, overseas, wherever. And so who do you think was most likely to get the business? The rating firm that came out and said, oh, these mortgage-backed securities are terrible. No one should buy them. No. The firm that provides the best or among the best ratings or one of the better ratings, right? You're not going to get the business if you can't help them sell. You're not going to get the business. You're not going to get the job if you can't help them sell. That goes for all of Wall Street. How many Wall Street analysts have negative ratings on stocks? You're not going to get the job if you can't help them sell. How many companies are going to do business with Wall Street firms that have a negative rating on their stock? How many companies are even going to talk to Wall Street analysts if they have a negative rating on their stock. Mike Mayo, one of the best bank analysts of all time. I worked with him when I was at Credit Suisse. Super smart, great guy. Known for his candor, known for his integrity. One of the few analysts I ever met on Wall Street that actually stood by his word and meant it every time. And a year or so ago, a couple years ago it may have been, he was negative about what Citigroup was doing. What did they do? Court his opinion and say, okay, yes, hey, let's have a dissenting voice. Let's have an open forum where everyone gets to speak their mind. No, they shut him out. They wouldn't let him ask questions on conference calls. They wouldn't take the meetings with him they took with other analysts. When he was at Credit Suisse, he got pushed out in favor of another bank analyst that had more favorable ratings in the industry. Mike Mayo wasn't investment banking friendly. He wasn't always company friendly, but he was client friendly. He was investor friendly. And it hurt his career. Follow the money, folks. Follow the money, folks. You know, one of the things I want to point out is that people say in the media that one of the reasons that the Justice Department went after S&P is because of their surprise downgrade of the U.S. government's sovereign credit rating in 2011. I call that poppycock. Everyone knows that the rating firms were doing unethical things. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows they were analytically overtaxed. They had no idea what was going on. So much deal flow. Not a lot of talent to go through all these things. Everyone knows that. It's a fait accompli. So this is just total media propaganda trying to distract you from the real point, which is that S&P, Fitch, and Moody's didn't really even understand the securities they were rating. And they were giving out positive ratings to make sure they did not miss out on the windfall that was the selling of mortgage-backed securities in the late 2000s, in the first decade of this century. They were all chasing the money, trying to make as much as they could. And by the way, this $1.4 billion fine is probably a small fraction of the profits they made from that business. Like similar settlements in the past that the Justice Department has achieved against Wall Street, there is no admission of guilt. Surprise, we'll only agree to this settlement and pay this money if we don't have to admit any guilt. Too bad. It's really too bad because they are guilty. Otherwise, why would they be paying out $1.4 billion? Everyone knows it, but they don't officially have to admit it because if they did, they would open themselves to lawsuits from all sorts of folks, from everybody who actually bought a mortgage-backed security. And so it's letting them get off the hook in a slight way, which is unfortunate. And so, the big takeaway, here's yet another essentially Wall Street scheme that ripped off investors. S&P made a ton of money, Fitch made money, Moody's made money, the Wall Street banks we all know made tons of money on this. Who lost money? The people that trusted them. The people that trusted non-independent research, or remember, conflicted in research. Focus on independent. It may not be the only research you use, but make sure you get an independent perspective. You owe that to yourself, to your savings, and anyone else whom you hope to have access to those savings in the future.